Your wife fell for a few minutes this morning?
I was there.
Yeah, that's what he had said, what you just asked her first. One being saved, but don't mean that he'll reign with you. But he didn't break it down.
Well, you see, we're in the kingdom of his dear son. And a lot of people don't realize what the kingdom of God is. It's a spiritual kingdom. It can't be seen. And you remember when in Matthew chapter, it's either 11 or 17, I'd have to look it up. Jesus Christ said, there'll be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Well, Peter, James, and John were transfigured that, well, taken up on the mountain, the Lord was transfigured, and they saw part of that. And that's those that are born again. They go into the kingdom of heaven, which the kingdom of heaven will be on this earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for the new flock, the little flock out of Luke 12. And they will be kingdom of priests, as Israel was to be a priesthood back in Exodus chapter 19.
Yeah.
But you see, when you talk about us being joint heirs, in Romans 8, we're heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. In other words, whatever Christ is an heir of, so are we. And I remember Brother Moore years ago used to try to teach us, and us being human, it's hard to comprehend these things, how this is going to work. But is God here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is he there?
Yeah.
He'd said, if you go to hell, I'm down there too. Said, there ain't nowhere you can go that I ain't. That's why he calls himself I am. Now, he said, I am that I am. That's what he told Abraham. I am that I am. And a lot of people put a lot of confidence in the name Yahweh, or whatever you want to pronounce it. It's spelled several different ways. It's spelled YWH. YHWH, YHVH, and it's also called, I forget the other names of it, but there's a lot of this come out of Germany and Russia, these names did. But God told us that he put his word above all of his names. But there are a lot of people put confidence in the thing about talking about Yahweh. You will never, ever find that name in a 1611 King James Bible. It ain't in there. And God told me that all scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction and instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if he'd have wanted me to call him Yahweh, he'd have put it in and told me to.
When you listen to the witnesses,
it was.
You listen to the witnesses, the Jehovah witnesses.
Yeah.
They think if it ain't Jehovah, you don't know God.
Yeah. Well, see, Jehovah means all powerful.
Why?
That's what the word Jehovah means, all powerful. In other words, and when you get into the book of Isaiah, especially chapter 43, 44, and 45, along in there. God says, who will you liken me unto? He said, I know no God beside me. He says, I am that I am, and I'm all powerful. Anybody, well, I tell you, maybe we'll get in some of this morning. I don't know. Anybody got anything you want to say before we get started? All right, I want y'all to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. All right, if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent Jesus Christ to die for us and pay for our sins. That by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, we ask you this morning to build us up in the faith and to teach us your word by your spirit and to let us be attentive to your word and believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning, especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And I believe that's two different times. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, reason. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Go to chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. Not the footnotes, not the headings, not the side notes. All scripture. You understand how I'm putting this? All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God breathed. God spoke it. The writer wrote it down. And some of them in the Old Testament back here in the old time got it by angels in different means. But God himself spoke the word came down, the writer wrote it down as God spoke it. Jesus Christ was sent in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and God gave him 12 men to carry on a ministry after he was to be crucified. Jesus Christ knew when he came into the world that he would die. He said, for this hour came I into the world. Well, the Lord appeared in Acts 9 to the Apostle Paul and gave him the books that we know as the church, the body of Christ. Paul got the word from the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote 13 books to the church, the body of Christ. The Lord appeared to Paul in Acts 18 and gave him a further ministry to people that are not in the covenants of promise. When the church, the body of Christ, goes out to meet the Lord in the air, and I heard a preacher this morning just mess that all up. He said, we are looking for the second coming. I am not looking for the second coming. The second coming belongs to Israel. You understand? God promised them, according to Deuteronomy back here, that Moses told them, God will raise you up a prophet like unto me. Moses was a deliverer. He was to deliver Israel out of bondage. And the Lord was to deliver Israel out of bondage to Rome. Rome was in power at this time. You understand? So he was the same as Moses. He was a deliverer. And in the book of Luke 24, you'll find two men that said, we thought this was he that should deliver Israel. And this is the third day, and we don't even know where he's at. They've crucified him, and they did not understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection at that time. Paul told it to them over here. Jesus Christ told Paul why he died at Calvary. He died for men's sins. So here he tells Paul that I'm going to send you to these Gentiles over here that are not in the covenants of promise. When the body is full, the rapture will take place. We will go out. The man of sin can be revealed. The Lord will allow him to be revealed. Then the Lord will deal with Israel in the 7-year tribulation that is for Israel, not for the church, the body of Christ. If you go into, say the rapture took place right now, and you are sitting here and you ain't saved, you ain't never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to go into the tribulation, you will believe the Antichrist. God told you that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he'll send you a strong delusion that you might be damned. Why? Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved in here. Now, we're talking about the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Where is our righteousness at? Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. You can't get your righteousness out of here. Do you know why? It was under the law. Moses told them, this law is your righteousness if you do it. Not ours. Paul said, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Paul manifested the grace of God without the law in here. Now, in studying the Word of God, let's do some things here this morning. First off, go to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Look in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow. Now watch what he says. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is the Word of God powerful? Yeah. Does the Word of God show you what's in your heart? Yeah. Well, let me show you what God told you about your heart. No, go to Psalms and take Psalms chapter 14. Now, we're talking about the inspired Word of God. Psalms 14. Verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, if you talk to somebody that don't believe in God Almighty, you know you're talking to a fool. You understand? They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Lord have mercy. We're all in a mess, ain't we?
Yeah.
We are a mess. The Lord looked down from heaven. Well, where's the Lord at? Are you sure about that? If I asked you to show me the Lord, what would you do? Thank you. I'd show you this 1611 King James Bible and show you His Word. This is God's Word. It is inspired. If I want to show somebody God, the only way I can show them is in a 1611 King James Bible. Now, I can't pick up another Bible and show you God. Why? Because He ain't in it. Any Bible, listen to me, any Bible that will take Luke chapter 2, verse 32 and 33 and make Joseph the father of Jesus is a lying book. Do you know where the lie come from? John chapter 8 tells you, Jesus Christ talking to some uppity folks, He said, you are of your father the devil. He's a liar from the beginning and the father of it. Well, can God lie? Well, did He look down from heaven here in verse 2? Look what He said. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of the men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. You know, you hear these people say, well, I sought God at an old-fashioned altar. Or I went down to the church and I knelt down and I'm squirming around down there begging for the Holy Spirit to come on me. My knees has got them sore. I had to get up and I said, and you know that people just go through this thing over and over and over. God said, there ain't none that seek Him. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Do you do understand when Jesus was dealing with Peter in Matthew chapter 16, he said, Peter, whom did men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, some say of John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. He said, Peter, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus Christ told him? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen, if you learn anything about God and His Word, you're going to learn it out of His book. Now, you may learn some things out of another. You know, you can go to a garbage can every now and then and find some pretty good stuff. I've gone to people's yards, and I know people go around now when it's time for trash to come around, and a lot of stuff in the trash pile they take and recycle and make money off of. But how often do you find real good stuff? Not often. Now watch what he says here. Verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. You know who said that? That weren't me. All I'm doing is reading God's Word to you. Did God say you ain't no good?
Right.
Well, bless God. You know what? Let me show you what Paul said about that. Go back to Timothy. Go back over to Timothy. 1 Timothy. I apologize. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Who was the gospel committed to? Did Paul verify in Galatians that he said he did not get his message from men, neither was he taught it, but by revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? He did. Now watch what he says here. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me for to count me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You know, you can join some kind of religious shenanigan out of ignorance. But when God Almighty shows you the truth, you know what it's time for you to do?
Yeah.
It's time for you to get out of there. God Almighty told you in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He also told Israel over here in the book of Revelation, come out from her. That's a religious system that started back in the Garden of Eden with Satan the liar and Eve that twisted the Word of God. There's a religious system that goes all the way through this thing, and there's a spirit of Satan that goes all the way through this Bible, the same as there's an eternal spirit of God that goes all the way through this Bible. Satan is after God tooth and nail. He ain't quit. Paul told you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Where's the wiles of the devil coming from? In the pulpits. Preaching false doctrines. Preaching another gospel. You know what Paul told you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom? The lost. In whom? The God of this world. That ain't God the creator of heaven and earth. That's a little old G. Satan. He said in Isaiah, in other places, he said in Ezekiel, I'm going to exalt myself above the throne of God. I'm going to be like the Most High God. And he's been trying to do it ever since. And he's gaining a lot of ground in some areas. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 12, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me for it, accounting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who put Paul into this ministry? God Almighty did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Who was before a blasphemer. Was Paul a blasphemer?
Yeah.
and a persecutor. Was he persecuting people? Was he causing people to blaspheme and causing people to die and go to hell that blasphemed and rejected? You do know that, don't you? Did Paul consent unto people's death? Did he say that he called people to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? He sure did. Back here, there ain't no hope for them. Paul had hope in Christ. Now watch what he says here. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save good people. Who did the Lord come into the world to save? Sinners. Well, how many are? What did God say? They've all sinned. We are all no good. So what do bad people need? They need a Savior. So what do you need to do? You need to preach the gospel of Christ to them. The gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John won't save them. Now, we're talking about the Word of God, and Paul told Timothy that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee unto salvation. In other words, make thee wise unto salvation. What brings God's wisdom? Does Satan's word bring God's wisdom?
No.
Ain't no wisdom in Satan's book. There are a lot of people got knowledge, but they ain't got no wisdom of God. Now, let's do something about the Word of God. Let's look at something. Go with me to Psalms and take Psalms chapter 12 to start with. Psalms chapter 12. You see, I've told y'all before, and I'll tell you again, I got a bad habit. Terrible bad habit. I simply believe the book means what it says. A lot of people don't. They try to interpret it. Well, I have no interpretation. I just read it and believe it means what it says. Verse 1, Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Well, they're ceasing today, ain't they? For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Paul told Timothy, he said, commit this to faithful men that should be able to teach others. To be what? To be faithful. Well, Paul said the Lord counted him faithful, putting him in to the ministry. We don't have too many faithful men left. You know why? They want that almighty dollar. Most of them preaching for a paycheck because they're too sorry to get a job and work. Verse 2, what are these people doing? They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. You know what the Bible says about that? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Well, that's a lie right there. Who is the Lord over us? Well, didn't Jesus Christ die for all men? Well, is he Lord of all men? Even of the dead? The living and the dead, he told them that in the Gospels back here. Verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Now here's our verses. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know what? When you study the number 7 in the 1611 King James Bible from beginning to the end, when God does something 7 times, that's it. It's done. And I know about this. We used to have smelting pots out there at the paper mill that they kept lead in. Some of these knives that they grind, when they grind and they get shorter and shorter, well, they all got to be the same width, so they put lead on the back of them as they're ground down. In that pot, the man that does this job, he has to take a ladle and scrape off the scum off the top of it and throw it in the trash. God did his book that way 7 times. He purified it as silver is purified. Look what he says here. Verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The more you purify silver and gold, the more perfect it gets. You melt it, you get out the dross, you melt it, you get out the dross, and after a while, there ain't none. I think about washing turnips when I read this. Y'all think that's funny? It is. It's funny.
Yeah.
But I do. I sometimes wash turnips. And I remember one time we had an old camp up on the river. A couple of buddies of mine stopped by on the riverbank. A man used to plant a lot of turnips and stuff up there on the riverbank, going through the cutoff, going through from the Tom Bigby over to the Alabama River. Okay? They throwed all of this, and this is river mud where these turnips are growing, sticky river mud. They throw them in the bottom of the boat and bring them to the camp, and they walking all over them in the boat. Me and my buddy, we got out there, and we ain't got nothing but a little picture pump. We washed them 2 or 3 times, but when we got through eating them, we had a big old cast iron pot that we had on the gas stove, butane stove, and when we got through eating them the next day, we got to looking in that pot, and there was about 1 inch of dirt in that pot. We didn't get too much of the dross out of it. But you see, God tried this word 7 times in this period. There ain't a mistake in it. There's not an omission in it. There's not a punctuation out of place. Every bit of it is right where God put it and right where God wanted it. And now it ain't all. Watch what he says here. Verse 7. Thou. Who is the thou reference to? Reference to the Lord, ain't it? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Reason. For the wicked walk on every side. With the when the vilest of men are exalted, what are these vilest men doing? They're changing the word of God. They're corrupting it. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Now you can't miss this. And I want you to think when we read this verse right here. Do you know anybody that has ascended to heaven? Do you know anybody that's been God's instructor? Do you know anybody that's been God's counselor? Well, think about that when you read this verse right here. Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever. How long is forever? You got any idea? I don't. I mean, if you can explain to me forever, I'll be glad to listen to you. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. Do you know anybody that's gone up there and been God's instructor? And in the book of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11, God Almighty said, my word will not come back void. It will prosper that into where I sent it. Now it may bring damnation on you, but if God sends you his word, it will not go back void. If Paul told you that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you were trying to get to heaven some other way, that word will not come back void. You know why? God someday will have you cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. And you can't be saved by any other gospel. I don't care who's preaching it or what they tell you. They take the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read to you in there, and especially out of Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did God say that? Did God say that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved?
Yeah.
Well, is that true?
Yeah.
Yes, for that time.
Well, have you got to be baptized and repent of your sins to be saved?
No.
He didn't say that to you. You see, people fail to see who God's talking to and what time frame they're in. You understand? So, when we get into Paul's epistles, Paul tells us, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Did Paul tell you to get baptized?
No.
What did Paul tell you about baptism? There's one baptism. Which one is it? It's spiritual. By one Spirit are we all baptized. We, who are we? Those that trust Christ as their personal Savior. We are baptized into a body by the Spirit. What did the Spirit baptize you with? It don't say. It just says by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jew, Gentile, bond, the free, male, and female, don't make no difference. It does not say what the Holy Spirit baptized us with. Did John baptize with water?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ baptize with water?
Yes.
Did Jesus Christ baptize with the Spirit in Acts 2? Yes, he did. Who baptized us into the body of Christ? The Holy Spirit did. And it don't say what he used, did it? You know what I expect he used? Now, this is my opinion. I believe he used God's Word. That Word was settled where? In heaven. Now, that's important. Now, while we're in Psalms 119, I want you to go to verse 160. While we're here. You're going to find another word right here that we've already went over. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth for a little while. For how long?
Forever.
Well, did he say his word's forever settled in heaven? Well, how long is it going to, his righteous judgments and stuff going to continue? Forever?
Yeah.
That's right. Do you know thy word this one psalm right here is 57 times in Psalms 119? That the word thy word appears 57 times. The word in Psalms 119 is 3 times. The word. Not a word. I bet you done forgot where we started. What did Paul tell Timothy?
Preach
a word?
No.
Preach what?
The
word. Preach the word. God put a lot of confidence in his word. Now, go with me to Psalm 138. Now, if this won't help you, in Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. Now, that's little g, that's them idolatrous things. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What's God put more emphasis on? The word. Do y'all know what Jesus Christ told them people in the book of John, I am? Said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and they said, "You ain't even 50 years old yet." And said, "How's Abraham saw you?" He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." I was going hunting one morning, way before daylight, and I was going through McIntosh. On the right-hand side of the road, there used to be a religious man lived there. He had all kind of religious things in his yard. Some of y'all may have seen them. I'm going down, and this is four lane in McIntosh, and I'm coming down in this dark, and I see something in the middle of the road. And I slowed, of course it's 45 miles an hour in there anyway, but I slowed down real slow. And I got to looking, and here come a dude walking down the road with a sign on the front and the back. White sheet on, looked like to me. "I am." And on the back, "I am." He's walking down that middle of that highway. "I am." I thought, yeah, you am going to get run over.
I was.
I don't know if that man lives there now or not. The last time I was up that way, it's been a year or so now. I don't go that way no more. That yard was cleaned out of all that religious stuff. I don't know if that man died or if he moved off or what happened, but it ain't there. But I know who the I am is. I got him right here in the Word of God. Now, if you will, go with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. So I know what word that Paul's talking to Timothy about. He's talking about this same book I got in my hand right here. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Do what? Make straight in the desert a highway for who? Our God. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 1. John 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word." And you'll notice that all of these are capital W's here. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, by the Word. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light." And you'll notice that light is a capital L too, don't you? "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." In other words, if you don't have the light of Jesus Christ, you're in darkness. You're sitting in pure pitch black darkness and don't even know it. That's sad. Verse 10, "He was in the world, the light. He was in the world, the Word. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own," that's a reference to Israel, the king of Israel, "and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, didn't he put his word above all his name?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Alright. "Which was born not of blood," his name, this word, which was born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Was the Word made flesh?
Yes.
Well, go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus Christ is dealing with a woman here. Verse 20, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. You understand? Very important that you understand God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we worship God today?
Spirit.
In spirit and truth. You understand? God is a spirit. Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Now we're talking about the Word. Jesus is talking to these people here about some bread that was given to them that came down from heaven, and they didn't understand what it was. Now, verse 61, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, Doeth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where He came, where He was before. Remember this verse now. In just a minute, we're going to see something about this. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Does God want your worship in your flesh? No, He doesn't. Well, what's most every church doing this morning? Worshiping God in the flesh, and they could care less about what the Spirit of God says. They're going through some kind of religious shenanigan, and they are not worshiping God in the Spirit and truth. Did God say, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved in Mark 16?
Yes.
You know what the same God said in the same chapter, in the same next two or three verses? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. If they take up any, drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall take up serpents, and they shall not hurt them. And you know what the last verse says? The Lord confirmed the word with signs follow. Any of y'all drink poison? Don't dare not do it.
I steered the 1,000-year millennial reign, didn't I?
Sir?
That's in the 1,000-year millennial reign is where He's speaking of.
Yes, sir. Did Paul have the power to take up serpents? Y'all remember when Paul was shipwrecked?
Yeah.
And he got some sticks to put in the fire, and there's a snake hanging on his hand, and he shook it off. And then people sitting around waiting on him to fall over dead said, this fellow must be a murderer. He escaped the wreck of the sea out there, but vengeance is getting him now. Nothing happened to him. You know what that was? A sign. A sign. Beloved, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. I believe God by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's impossible to please God. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, where am I going to seek God at? Right here in this 1611 King James Bible. Now, back in John chapter 6, verse 62. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Is the Word of God the Spirit?
Yes.
Are they Word and life?
Yes.
Now, go back to chapter 3. Now, here we go again here now. Watch what he says. In John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this ain't no just ordinary man walking around. Now, this is an uppity-up Jew ruler here now. He's got a lot of authority here. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You remember what you read in John chapter 1? To them that believed on him, he gave them what?
Power
to become the sons of God. Did you know how they become the sons of God? In resurrection. Hold your place here and go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. You see, this terminology that people use, born again, they do not understand what born again means. Born again is being resurrected from the dead. You understand? Ain't got nothing to do whether you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are not born again. You are a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created, not born again. You understand? There's a difference. Now in Luke chapter 20, there's a question here. Well, let's just start in verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees which deny that there's any resurrection, and they asked him, are we talking about resurrection?
Yes.
Saying, Master, Moses wrote enough, if a man's brother die having a wife and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife, raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren. The first took the wife and died without children. The second took her and to wife and he died up childless. And the third took her and in the like manner the seven also. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her the wife. Jesus answered, said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they that shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels. Now watch what he says, and are the children of God being the children of the resurrection. Now you can't miss that. Go back to John chapter 3 and watch what he says here. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb be born? Now watch this answer. Jesus Christ ain't no dummy. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's supposed to know all this stuff. Some of our preachers are supposed to know this stuff and they deny it. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. If Nicodemus could have got back in his mama's womb and been born again, would he still be flesh?
Yes,
yes he would. You know what Paul told you? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch what Jesus said here. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So they're equal to the angels, aren't they? Aren't they?
Yes.
They sure are. Come to verse 13. Now, I told you a while ago to remember a verse that we read. And Jesus Christ said, what if you see the Son of Man ascending back where he came from, where he was? And in John 17, you'll find his prayer that he'd get back to God the Father. And the only way Jesus Christ could get back to God the Father is to be born again. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he came into the world in a body of flesh. Man. This man, Christ Jesus, the man. He went to Calvary. He died. They buried him. 3 days later, he ascended up with a new body. Are you listening? A new creature. If you please, me in him. If you're saved, you in him. He stayed 40 days with the apostles, and then he ascended up back to where God the Father is, above all heavens. Where am I at now, judicially? I'm above all heavens. You understand? I'm not looking for the second coming. I'm looking for the Lord to come down, change my vile body so I can go where my new body is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38. Ought to bring a bell in your mind. He has a body prepared for us, but to every seed his own body. Now listen. I've been told that in a moment, twinkling of eye, last trump is all the rapture of the church. Not so. I am not looking for an angel to come down here. I'm looking for the Lord himself. I got one kind of body. They got another body. You understand? Are they spirit? He said that which is born of the flesh, born again is spirit, didn't he?
Yeah.
They are equal to the angels. How? They are the children of God being in the resurrection over here after the rapture of the church. You understand? We get a new, we are new creatures and we are in his body. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30. I am a member of his flesh and bone. You understand? I'm a member of his body. When was his body resurrected? AD 33. Based on God's foreknowledge, knowing who would trust Christ as their Savior, I was resurrected with him. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Voice of the archangel, that ain't got nothing to do with me. The archangel is for Israel. Three different resurrections, beloved. And I don't care whether they like me or not. I don't give a flip. I just simply believe the book means what it says. Now, back in John chapter 3, verse 13. I want you to pay attention to verse 13. No man hath ascended up to heaven. Well, now listen to me. Is God's word forever settled in heaven?
Yes.
Well, has anybody went up there and say, well, now, I want y'all to go back down there and I want y'all to come up with this new NIV Bible. Now, I want you to go down there, and I want you to come up over here with an RSV or some kind of, well, let's, I tell you what, dude, you, I want you to go down there, and I want you to write a new King James Bible. No. Ain't no man ever ascended to heaven. But who? Look what it says. He tells you right here, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Is the Son of Man in heaven?
Yes.
Well, I got one question for you. Judicially, where are we at?
We're in Christ.
We're in heaven. Praise God, you can't beat that. I don't need to try to go through the tribulation and worry about the stinking old Antichrist over here. Let him come. I'll take the mark right now if he wants me to. It ain't going to bother me. You know why? I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Can't nothing take me out of that. God baptized me into the body. God counted me just. God counted me righteous. And he baptized me by the Spirit into the body. And I'm going out when the body goes out. And if you're saved, you're going with me. Whether you like me or not. And whether I like you or not ain't the issue. The issue is, we're new creatures in Christ according to God's Word. Not my Word, not my doctrine. I'm like Jesus Christ told these people back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Well, my doctrine ain't mine. My doctrine is that which was committed to the Apostle Paul, rightly divided. And if I don't rightly divide it, I'm going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't want to be ashamed. I've been ashamed all my life of being as sorry as I am. Y'all ever done anything that you later on just terribly just, I mean, it just bore on you? Why in the fucking doodling did I do that? Y'all ain't like me, or I'm pretty sorry. One last thing. I want to show you something. Go to Genesis chapter 17 about God's Word. Genesis 17. You see, I don't find the word Yahweh in my 1611 King James Bible nowhere, so I'm not going to call him Yahweh. Now, you can if you want to. It don't bother me. I don't care what you call him. That's up to you. But I know he put his word above all his name, and he thinks more of his word than he does his name. And then in Genesis 17, God's dealing with Abraham here about some things and about his seed in the context here of Genesis 17. And by the way, the word Almighty is in the King James Bible 56 times. I just let you realize that there's 56 times in the King James Bible. In Genesis 17, verse 1, and when Abram, and his name is changed to Abraham, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And he tells him about his covenant that he's going to make with him. Now, go to Exodus chapter 6, I believe it is. Give me a minute. Yes, Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. He's talking about Pharaoh now. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Did he make his name known to Abraham as Jehovah?
No.
He made his name known as Almighty God. But to Moses, he said, I am Jehovah. Now, go to Revelations and we'll close. My time's running out. Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. And the revelation of here is given by God to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ sent it by his angel. So, beloved, that tells you one thing right there. The church, the body of Christ, ain't involved in the book of Revelation, because Paul told you, though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, well, an angel has given this message to John to write to seven churches over here in the tribulation time. So now here's what happens. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, huh? And which is to come, who? The Almighty. God Almighty Himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world, and said, God's a spirit. God was in Christ, the Spirit of God in Christ when He died at Calvary. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto Him. And I wish people could see that. He died, He became sin that we are, whatever we are, or whatever they are out there. Jesus Christ became that at Calvary, and God turned His back on Him, and whosoever will believe that, God will save and seal to the day of redemption. You understand, this is a free gift from God Almighty. What is the problem with man trying to confuse people to believe that they got to say the sinner's prayer, do this? And I was watching old Jan, what's Jan Krause's wife's name?
Wow.
On TBN. Got that old big old blonde head.
Her name's Jan.
Jan, is that her name, Jan? Yeah. Okay. I was watching her this morning. They having a telethon thing. And she said, at this, they showing this playground thing, whatever they call that thing up there, paradise or something. And she said, we don't just play up here. She said, we have service every day. And every day, we say the sinner's prayer. And I just got me right here. Sinner's prayer. What is a sinner's prayer? Got any idea? I don't. I ain't got no idea what the sinner's prayer is.
Billy Graham.
I know what God said. God said there ain't none of us no good. And I know Jesus Christ became what we are, that by trusting what He did at Calvary, you too can have eternal life. Appreciate you being here this morning. You've been most patient and kind to me. Appreciate you being here.